Behind every bit of mom wisdom is a story. A story of a real mom and real kids just trying to love each other well. Whether you're cozied up on the couch with a mug of coffee or out for a walk, you're welcome to join us as we share stories and laugh, learn, and grow together. It's the I'm Mom Podcast. Welcome to this week's episode of the I'm Mom Podcast. I'm Abby with Chloe, Megan, and Susan. And this week, Merry Christmas. This episode is out on Christmas Day. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
It's like 99 and a half degrees right now. So hard to get in the Christmas mood. But this is something that I know a few of us have talked about off mic that I think is an important conversation for moms to have for their own mental health, but also for their kids. So my story is that last year, my husband found me in the bathroom on Christmas night and I was crying. You know, one of those like standing in front of the mirror kind of crying things. And he's like, did I get their gift wrong? And I said, no, I just realized I only have 7 more Christmases with the kids at home.
Oh, I thought
you were crying.
I know. And I mean, there's just so much fun and so much joy.
Abby, I've told you they never leave.
I hope they don't. I mean, I want them to, but I want them to like go and come back. Yeah. But then everybody leaves and the house settles. And sometimes then you end up taking the decorations down the next day and you get those post-Christmas blues. And our kids feel it too. I remember feeling it as a kid. Sometimes like even, it's sad, but like even like right after you finish unwrapping presents, it's like, oh, it's over, you know? And sometimes we end up feeling it like after New Year's. So today I want to talk together and give mom some tools and maybe a new attitude to go into the holidays with. And you know, if you're listening to this on the day after Christmas, maybe you're actually feeling it and something that she can use to help with the post-holiday blues. So do you guys experience it now? Or did you feel it as a kid? Is this something that happens to you?
No, because I continue the party. I feel like I don't even think about taking my decorations down until the kids go back to school. So that was my treat to myself, because after Christmas is when I get to sit down and really enjoy the tree. So I don't think of it as an end, really.
See, one thing that kind of gets me every year is when the radio stations go back to regular music the day after Christmas. And it's because we've been playing it since November 1st. And so they're like, yeah, we're tired of Christmas. And I'm like, I'm not tired of Christmas yet. You know, I want the season to continue.
I definitely do. I love Christmas. I love all the parties. I love the decorations. I love everything. And having little kids now that love it, they like get sad. James is 4. He gets sad when it's over. He's like, we have to wait a whole year. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's really rough. So I definitely do, especially because I live in DC. And so it's going to be 30 degrees from post-Christmas all the way to like April.
Yeah.
And all the pretty decorations are down. So then you're just cold.
Just cold for
like, and miserable. Yeah. There's like nothing pretty, little guy. You're just cold and dreary.
No sleigh bells. Yeah. Just nothing. Snow.
Yeah.
What about you, Chloe?
Yeah, I definitely. I felt it a lot more when I was younger, but especially when I go see my family and I have to come back. I think that makes me sad.
Yeah. What do you think is the difference between the feeling that an adult gets and what a child feels? If you can put yourself back in that, or if, like what your kids feel.
James, my 4-year-old, says this a lot. He thinks of time as like, if I say, oh, we're going to go do it tomorrow, he'll go, that's going to take forever. And I'm like, it's literally in like 10 hours.
Yeah.
Like, so in their minds, I remember being a little kid and being so sad that Christmas was over, because to me, a year in my mind was literal eternity.
Yeah.
And so I think his little brain is just a really long time to wait again.
Yeah. I think there's so much like built up anticipation for presents that their bodies don't know how to respond when they like physically feel like that release of that excitement. It's gone. And I don't think they can actually process like, well, now what? That fun thing is over. They can't, I don't know if they can find the joy. It's sad. I mean, and that's what we're here to talk about today. It's like, I think that kids have a hard time knowing what to look forward to now because the presents are open.
Yeah, right.
I think for me, it's the time. Like, it's the time with people that I get to see once a year, you know, like my brother and I are going to see each other. I haven't seen him in 2 years, you know? So it's like, I think when I was younger, it was the presents, but now it's literally just the quality time.
Yeah. I think it's interesting too, that a lot of kids, I remember as a kid feeling upset when all the presents were open. And it's like, but now you actually have these things.
Right.
It's like, it's not just a box with a bow. Now you have the toy. So why are you upset? And I think it's kind of, that speaks to like what our hearts really desire.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not the thing in the box.
Yeah.
We desire anticipation and believing in something special and something beautiful and something exciting. You know, it's not about what's actually in the box.
Yeah. It's so true, because I remember thinking that after opening all the presents, and then it's still Christmas morning, but you're kind of like, well, what do we do now? Yeah. You know, what do we? It's,
well, do you think that's because we've just put too much focus on the commercialism and not that, oh, we're really celebrating Jesus's birth and that is eternal. Yeah. That's every day. And kind of pivoting to that a little bit more. Yeah. Maybe that's why that is such a great example, gifts of the emptiness of stuff.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep,
that's
I think so too. We have a tradition of waiting to put the baby Jesus in the manger until Christmas Day, just because then we're like, okay, now it's Christmas. Yeah. Jesus is born. And so we get to do that little fun activity together. And then we celebrate for the next 12 days. I made one year I tried to do like a present, a tiny present each day after Christmas until we celebrated Epiphany and the wise men. And that was a lot of work. And I didn't do it again after that because it was just, it was a lot. But it in my mind, I was like, I want them to know that Christmas isn't really over. Like, now Jesus is born and now we celebrate. That was like the bells and the carols and the presents. And now here Jesus is born. And this is what we've been anticipating.
Yeah.
Your Advent. And I think kind of what you said, Chloe, about the people, I think that as adults, the post-Christmas blues comes because the things that make life more festive and take us outside of the ho-hum of Monday through Friday or, you know, grocery shopping and that stuff, the lights and the gatherings and stuff, like now that stuff is over and we physically take the lights down and it kind of feels a little bit like it represents how we feel.
With that too, that made me think of too, I like the holidays. The holiday time as well, because it's a slowdown a little bit. Mm. I mean, there's still chaos because there's a ton of things to do and you're getting ready for the holidays, but work-wise, it's a slow time a little bit more so. And then I feel like when January hits, it's like back to the rat race.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta set all your goals and get going because it's the start of a new year. And
that's true.
Feels like a lot.
Yeah. I think sometimes when things don't go as expected too, we can get a little bit bummed, you know, like, oh, well, I really wanted this family dinner to be perfect. And then it's done. And you're like, well, I didn't pull it off or whatever. Or your kids didn't get a present they wanted. There's all these different reasons. And I think kind of like what you said, Susan, often they point to the misdirected, the things that maybe our hearts are focused on that they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the big picture for the feeling of the post-Christmas blues. It's like, you know, if you're putting your hope and your joy in something that is in the box, it's not necessarily going to satisfy you.
Yeah, I think that's something our culture, though, has kind of really pushed is we have, it's not Norman Rockwell anymore, it's Instagram picture of Christmas and leaving that behind. And, oh, yeah, so one of the kids didn't like their toys. That's a lesson right there. Let's talk instead of feeling like we failed because it wasn't that picture perfect.
Yeah.
Like you may not even get a picture to post. Yeah. Let it go.
Yeah.
So true.
Megan, have you had to deal with this? I think that I remember my parents getting frustrated with me because I would get whiny or cry. And they say, you just got these presents and now this is how you're acting. And I think that remembering myself as a child, it was more like, I'm just sad. And it's directed, you know, parents don't understand. You just got a toy. Why are you whining? Mm-hmm. But really what it is that they're feeling all these complicated feelings of Christmas being done.
For sure. I definitely did that. I remember having meltdowns after, and I think it's like the overstimulation combined with the, like
sugar.
You said, the sugar, the built up anticipation, everything like that. And so I think it can be overwhelming for kids to try to figure out in their heads.
So do we reply to them and address what they're saying, or do we address what the real issue is, which is like all the stimulation and stuff? Like, do you say, you just got this toy, you're acting spoiled, or do you go, okay, I think that you're just...
Well, and I also remember being that there were five kids, we always felt like someone got more.
More, yeah.
And we'd be like, they got so much more.
We were very specific. Three presents, one from each of the wise men.
No,
and
but
one
we'd
gift
be
from
like,
Santa.
That's a way more expensive gift than that. And they were like, no, it's not.
And now kids can get online and check the price of things.
Yeah. And you know what? I walk away from that. I'm not going to. So I just don't answer those kind of questions from kids. I just walk away because if sometimes when kids like you said, are just overstimulated or whatever, you just have to ignore it. You just, this, you're being silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's, you don't need presents at all. Like that's kind of the, right. If this is how we're going to be, then see how it goes with no presents next year, which would break my heart. That would be a total bluff on my part.
I did have a cousin who got coal 1 year. Really? Oh, we talked about it forever. Oh my gosh. I can't believe Billy really got coal. That's all he got.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what can we do?
Yeah. Savage. Yeah. He deserved it. Trust me.
Where did you get coal too? Like charcoal?
Yeah. His stocking was just filled with coal. That's it.
I mean, Santa gets it from a furnace somewhere, I'm sure.
I hope you learned your lesson, Billy.
Mm-hmm. He didn't.
Is Billy like 60 now?
Yeah, Billy's older than me.
Billy is the Grinch.
Billy was just bad.
So what can we do for our kids or ourselves leading up to Christmas to prevent the blues? Like, so as we're approaching Christmas, I mean, today's Christmas, if you're listening to it on the day the episode comes out. But leading up to Christmas, what are some things that you can do to help your kids, you know, just, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Preventative measures, I suppose?
It's all about managing expectations. It's that pre-coaching, you know, talk about it every day. Hey, this is really about giving. Mm. What are you going to give? Let's focus on, let's go buy something for somebody else. We've done Angel Tree where we sponsor another family and the kids have to go with me and pick stuff out, you know, from that to giving presents to other people, drawing names and, you know, just, you got to make them think about something else than just what they're going to get or how they're going to be disappointed.
Right. Because if all you're thinking about for a month or more is what gift I'm going to get.
You're going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. You're setting yourself up for a disaster. For
I was laughing the other day because I literally heard one of my friends like, and it was in the summer. It actually wasn't even the other day. It was in the summer. She was like, Santa's watching. And I was like, it's like June. What?
Santa's always watching.
I was dying laughing. I was like, she's like, it works. Wow. I was like,
yeah.
I think that resting too, like kids and parents, we just go so hard the holidays that it's easy for us to become frazzled. And what you just said, Susan, about giving, my son came to me like a month or so ago and showed me a video that one of his teachers showed the class, and it was a TED Talk, I think. And the person talking was giving like an example of research that's been done on random acts of kindness or just doing the kind act for somebody, and that like hit of, I don't know if it's dopamine or whatever it is that it does for you, doing something kind, even anticipating doing something kind gives you a surge of these feel good feelings.
This must have just come out because I read something about this too, and it's very interesting.
Yeah. And I asked him, I said, so what do we do? You've seen this, like now what do we do? And he's like, well, we could look for ways to help people. I said, all right, let's look for ways to help people because it's good for them, but it also means that you're going to feel really, really good after doing it.
And there's no real mystery in our DNA when you read the Bible, because over and over we read, and Jesus gave God gave his one and only son. God gave. Therefore, in our DNA is something that delights in giving.
Yeah.
So what about after the holidays then? So what can we do to beat the blues? Any random thoughts? I put you on the spot. What do you guys normally do? I know, Susan, you said you don't take Christmas down. Christmas 365.
Makes you think about Grinch when he's like, wallow in self-pity. Yeah.
I'll have to cancel on myself again.
Well, I can't cancel that.
I just thought of this as I said. Okay, so if the quality time is the big thing, I need to be better about, like, why don't I schedule a FaceTime with my cousin that I see once a year? Like, why do I have to, like, we are so connected. I should be nurturing those relationships more. Or, like, I don't know, even just setting up things with my friends, you know, in January, because you do just get kind of...
Or go see lights, after the lights are up.
I've thought about this because there's so much happening in the month of December between Thanksgiving, Christmas, and so many people have like work parties and regular parties and blah, 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 school parties. I've always thought about like, what if I had like a January winter party?
That's
I just have something to look forward to. Yeah, I don't know.
Honestly, though, because there's too much going on in December.
In December, it's just too much.
Yeah. I have started a new tradition. So this helps with the blues after Christmas. I think there's other things you can do to fight the blues that come maybe January 2nd. But I always, this is like super lame, but I do a puzzle every year between Christmas and New Year's. Otherwise, I like my house to be really tidy. And especially with Christmas decorations up, I don't want there to be a mess because it distracts from the tidiness. But after Christmas, I put like a 1,000-piece puzzle out. And for that week, I just... you know, do it. And usually my husband will watch a show. And just in our downtime, I do my puzzle. And I've come to look forward to it. Like my mom 3 weeks ago I got a package in the mail. It was a puzzle. She goes, it's your first Christmas puzzle. Yeah. And so it's just a thing to look forward to. It doesn't have to be an activity even, but just like maybe you've got a book that you've been looking forward to reading.
Yeah, I was like, it's your PCP. And then I was like, isn't that a drug?
It is a drug to me, Megan. It gives me joy.
And see, it would keep me up all night. I'd be sitting there doing that puzzle till it's done.
It does. Yeah. It does keep me up. But yeah, it's good because it's addicting. Like,
oh, yeah. I would totally be addicted. One more. Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. But I really want to find this piece.
Yeah, it's bad. But it's also my favorite activity, and my old lady, the old lady inside of me. We said, don't take Christmas down right away. You know, leave it up. Do something kind to help others. Talk to your kids about dealing with disappointment. I think it's a good way to teach resilience. You know, if they didn't get the gift that they wanted, okay, it's okay. Life goes on. You don't always get what you want, and that's all right. I mean, Christmas is like a built-in example, opportunity for us to teach
fair
our kids.
Exchange. Go return that gift. Mm-hmm. Save money for what you want.
Yep. And then I think too, like sometimes allowing yourself to feel sad is okay. Feeling sad can reveal what's really important to you. You know, maybe you feel sad, like you just said, Chloe, because you don't get to see this relative for another year. Okay, well, that relative is important to me and yeah, I want to see him or her more often. You know, feeling sad can show us things that matter. Yeah, and I think that's important. Yeah. And then think ahead to next year. Would you guys do this? I had this idea. Write a note to yourself. So say Christmas comes and goes, write a note to yourself. And as you take down your decorations, put the note in so that you'll see it at the beginning of the season next year. And that note can say like what brought you the most joy, what activity you did that you don't need to do again because it was too stressful, what you wish you'd avoided, things like that. Do you think that future you would listen to current you, or would you just like go big again?
I wish I was better about journaling and note taking. My mother-in-law actually does this. So she will cook things, and like if the family didn't like it, she'll be like, do not make this. Or she'll be like, make this. It was a hit, or do this. Yeah. And then she pulls it out every year. She has like a whole like basically journal of things that have been hits and things that she wouldn't do again. So I was like, that's actually a good idea. I mean, I'm not a good journal note taker. I need to be better about it.
See, if you knew that it had a purpose, if you knew that, you know, you were stressed over the season and you could write yourself this note to help you be less stressed, mm-hmm, and then have less of those blues next time, maybe, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I put notes on my, this is not a Christmas blues thing, but I put notes on my lights that are around the house because I never remember where they go. I'm like, where does this strand go? Yeah. Does this go in the mantle? Does it go over the entertainment center? And so I just staple little like notes on. Yeah. We can't keep Christmas up year round, and that's okay because it's what makes Christmas special. If you had your lights up all year, you wouldn't even notice them after a few more months. But how can we take some of the things we love about the holidays and work them into the other 10 months? Like, so what are some of the things that maybe a mom loves about Christmas that she can work into August or September or March?
Well, I try to play Christmas music year round.
Oh, you're that person.
My husband doesn't like it. It's like a worship song. I'm like, this is a song of worship to God.
Yeah. Like, right. You're right. All Christmas music is worship music in a way, I suppose, except for Rudolph.
True. You know what
I
mean?
I think that what makes Christmas special is like we're just really intentional about spending time together as a family in like a simple way. Doesn't have to be, in fact, it's usually not an amusement park or something big and loud. It's sitting and watching a movie that we all know all the words to, you know, and having a cup of hot chocolate or baking cookies together. It's like doing things that maybe we did 50 years ago. You know, it doesn't have to be new and high tech or anything. And so I think that shows us that slowing down and simplifying is really the best way to spend family time together. So you can do that in March.
I think the reason we love Christmas so much is some of those things. We're waiting to do those again. And that is what the whole reason of Christmas is. Advent to Advent means to wait. And the Israelites were waiting for the Messiah. And they kept looking forward and waiting in anticipation of, oh, every child born, they thought, is this the one? Is this the one? And so we're supposed to feel that anticipation. We're supposed to feel that building of, Christmas is coming. Mm-hmm. We swapped the meaning a little bit. We're looking more forward to the presents than the birth of our Savior. But I think that's why we can't reproduce mm-hmm. the feeling of Christmas, because it is a special time of waiting. It's mm-hmm. an advent, an anticipation of something really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm shocked no one even mentioned the food.
So when Megan's all about the food.
Like, that is part of my favorite thing. Yes, the quality time, number one.
Yeah.
Food is a real close second.
I'm usually so ready for it to be done by the time yeah. Christmas actually.
Oh, I call it bulking season. I'm like, bulking season. This is the best time of year.
Have we talked about Megan winning the pizza eating contest?
Yes. No, it is the best because it's cold forever, so you have a plenty of time to eat it and take it back off.
She's so surprised that Beck likes to eat
so
much.
I'm not surprised at all.
I love it. See, but you've said you live in a place where it's really cold. We don't. Do not.
I know. We don't get to bulk.
No, but it's a real reality check when I bulk and then come down to visit and I'm like, oh, shoot, yeah. It's hot here.
Nope, you just fit into all my dresses. You're doing good.
Last year, I got in the habit of making like eggnog lattes. So I bought
eggnog. Oh, my God.
I know. I was like, these are so good. Pictures of myself, like from our staff Christmas thing. I was like, holy moly.
They were really good.
Those eggnog lattes. Well, we hope you have a very Merry Christmas, and some of these tips will help you beat the Christmas blues. We do have an article on ways moms can beat the holiday blues, the post-holiday blues, on iMom, and I'll put them in the show notes. And thank you so much for listening. Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening to the iMom podcast. iMom is the motherhood program of the nonprofit organization Family First. Along with our fatherhood program, All Pro Dad, we exist to help you love your family well. Subscribe to our daily email, the iMom Minute, by going to imom.com/subscribe and get tons of great ideas, insight, and inspiration. The iMom podcast is hosted by me, Abby Watts, along with Susan Merrill, Megan Tigner, and Chloe Blumenthal.